This episode is made possible by Walmart Connect. If you expect your media investment to deliver clear, measurable results, Walmart Connect can help you get there with powerful analytics and the reach of America's number one retailer. Their closed-loop measurement uses Walmart's proprietary customer purchase data to track the impact of your campaign on sales, not just on Walmart's site and app, but also in store. For some campaigns, they can even provide rest of market data that tracks the impact on sales at other retailers. Visit WalmartConnect.com today and see how they can help make your media spend meaningful. Walmart Connect, more than media, meaningful connections.
Deloitte survey found that other than using Gen AI for fun and leisure and work-related tasks, health and wellness information searches are consumers' top use case for Gen AI.
Gang, it's Monday, April 15th. Rajiv and listeners, welcome. Welcome in to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Walmart Connect. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by a senior analyst who covers everything digital health here at eMarketer. Based in New Jersey, it's Rajiv Leventhal.
Hey, Marcus. Good to see you again.
Hey, buddy. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out today. Today we're talking all about how Gen AI is changing healthcare. But we start, of course, with today's fact. Today's fact is St. Patrick wasn't even Irish. Oh my goodness. He was a Brit. So, this is what happened. I say it like I was there. I wasn't there. He was abducted as a teenager and taken there against his will. After 6 years, he escaped to mainland Europe, became a monk, and then went back to Ireland to Christianize it. And he's the patron saint of Ireland. What are we doing?
That fact might upset some people.
I know. Victoria?
It's even more upsetting if you grew up Italian and Italians always say that St. Patrick was actually from Italy.
Is that what they say?
And then he made his way to the UK and then moved on to Ireland. So the Italians also have a great love and reverence for St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-oh, here we go. This has kicked the hornet's nest, hasn't it? This might be my most controversial fact of the day.
A little bit. But you know what? Everybody's a little bit Irish on St. Patrick's Day, so it doesn't even matter where you come from.
Yeah, they are. Who are we kidding? Well played, Ireland. Well played. Anyway, today's real topic, Gen AI's influence on how healthcare is delivered. Today's episode is the first of a two-part series on Gen AI and healthcare. Episode 2 will be tomorrow, but in the first part of the two-part series, we're going to be talking all about consumers and their relationship with Gen AI and the health space and how they use it to look up health information, how doctors feel about that, and how doctors feel about them using it and the quality of information that they're getting back. But Rajiv, we'll start with looking at how consumers using Gen AI to look up health information. But before that, real quick, I just want to say this as a disclaimer. I think it's important because Lisa Ward of the Journal pointing out that OpenAI, who make ChatGPT, one of the generative AI systems, says the company's models are not fine-tuned to provide medical information, and the company cautions against using the models to provide diagnostic or treatment services for serious medical conditions. The company is continuing research on the issue. So with that said, Rajiv, how are consumers using Gen AI tools like ChatGPT to look up health information?
Yeah, and smart that the company is saying that, because we are noticing that consumers are more frequently turning to Gen AI tools to look up health information. And we have written about some data where consumers have mixed sentiments on the quality of that information, but they are using it. It's just another tool like Google, like search engines or medical information websites like WebMD or Healthline. It's another tool to let patients type in information about a health condition, look up treatment options for a medical issue, and then just receive general health and wellness guidance, just like they would on the internet using Google or a website like WebMD. And Deloitte's survey found that other than using Gen AI for fun and leisure and work-related tasks, health and wellness information searches are consumers' top use case for Gen AI. And we're going to get into this, but it's something that physicians are going to have to deal with. Consumers go to the doctor's office and say, this is what ChatGPT told me about my symptoms, you know, and then physicians have to deal with, well, is that information reliable or not? And that is still very much TBD. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you can understand why folks are turning to these tools, because people have been turning to the internet for this kind of help for a while. You actually pointed out, was it 7% of Google searches on the platform are health focused?
Yes.
According to Google. And so people are looking for health information online. And so this just seems like a natural evolution of people looking for information online. You know, they look for it themselves with searches and go through websites versus asking the internet or ChatGPT, whatever, questions and having information being spat back out at them.
Yeah, and I still think a lot of patients need more familiarity with Gen AI tools before they trust it with health information like they would Google or even social media. I mean, any internet source can spit out wrong information if you're looking in the wrong place.
Yes.
But at least consumers have years and years of using Google and social media and other sources on the internet to give them answers to their health-related questions, and that probably leads them to having more comfort in performing those tasks. But there was another survey I just wanted to call out from Wolters Kluwer that 82% of consumers say that the health focused outputs from ChatGPT come from internet searches with no filter, and that half are concerned that Gen AI might produce false information. So there is still a wait and see approach here that I think a lot of consumers are taking. They're turning to it more frequently, but do they trust the information that it's spitting out? Still unsure about that.
I mean, one of the huge problems there is the source is not as evident, right?
Right.
Miss Ward of the Journal was noting, by reading web pages directly, the source is often, not always, but often clearer. Whereas if you're asking a generative AI tool a question, you're not always sure where the information's coming from. The other thing here, Rajiv, which is interesting, is you're right. We have a history and we have a certain amount of experience with searching for things on the internet and how that practice works. Whereas doing that with a ChatGPT is still new to us. The big difference here for me is the delivery. The delivery is so different because something is a lot more authoritative if you're being told the information versus if you're having to go find and read it yourself, even if the information's the same. And you had a stat, this was also from the Deloitte 2023 Healthcare Consumer Survey, 7 in 10 American adults who use Gen AI for health reasons rated the information as either very reliable or extremely reliable, just 5% of people, to the contrary, saying it's not very reliable or completely unreliable. And so you have the same information being delivered differently, and you do have a certain amount of trust there. What's interesting, though, is there's another survey, which I think you also used in one of your articles. 9 in 10 consumers aren't ready to trust Gen AI for healthcare purposes because they don't know where the tech is getting its information from, how it was validated. This was from Wolters Kluwer Health Survey. Nearly half of folks are concerned that Gen AI might produce false information. This seems similar to a lot of paradoxes we see in the digital world. People use social media to get their news, but don't trust it. You know, it's one of those things where people are kind of quite conflicted in what they're doing and how that might be counter to what they're hoping to get out of it, even if they still continue that behavior.
Yeah, you know, I wrote a piece kind of covering these two pieces of research that you just mentioned. I mean, some of it comes down to, look, we're only 18 months in from a consumer just being able to use a Gen AI tool to, you know, ask a question about their condition or symptoms or possible treatment option. And the Deloitte survey specifically, I think the reasons why those results were more positive about the reliability of the information were they specifically asked people who have used Gen AI to look up medical information. The Wolters Kluwer survey, I don't think specified. So at the very least, I think that tells us that people who have used it are pretty satisfied with the outputs. People who might not have used it and are just looking at it from afar.
That's a great point.
We'll see. But I don't trust AI because I haven't used it. But the people who have used AI think it's pretty reliable so far.
Yes, that's a really good point. Who are you asking? Who's the survey asking? Because if you ask users of TikTok, do you want it to be banned? They probably all say no. If you ask the general population, many of whom do not use TikTok, they'll probably say
exactly,
yes.
Exactly.
And that's what we've seen in the research. It's a great point. I mean, you can't blame folks for using it because one of the other things here is that it's a cheaper alternative. And in a for-profit healthcare system like America, like the US, you could easily understand why using AI to answer medical questions is not just about getting better answers, but it's also about getting them quicker and more importantly, or maybe most importantly, getting them cheaply or cheaper than making an appointment with a doctor. The Economist pointing out many health systems such as America's are set up to reward the volume of work and so have little reason to adopt technologies like Gen GenAI or AI that cut the number of visits, tests, or procedures.
Yeah, doctors want you to come in, but some patients are like, wait, if I've got to wait a week for an appointment and I've got to pay for it and I've got to deal with my insurance and I have to figure out if the provider is in network, maybe I could just get the answer from a tool at my fingertips?
Yeah. Depends on the type of questions. In terms of people looking up health information, and one question you wanted to address in this episode was, should they be? And it seems like it depends on the types of questions. When asked, can large language models like ChatGPT and its competitors provide reliable medical advice for patients? In a Wall Street Journal article, James Zhu, who's an assistant professor of biomedical data science at Stanford University, said its effectiveness depends on the kinds of questions you ask it. It's not great to ask prediction questions or personal recommendations. It could be more effective for information retrieval or exploratory questions like, tell me something about this particular drug.
Yeah, exactly. It might depend on like how much experience you have with prompts, right? Usually with a Google search, you can kind of just figure out how to get the information you're looking for. Whether that's reliable or not is a different story. But, you know, it doesn't take that much time to type in the search engine your question. But you've got to work with the ChatGPT tool to try different prompts for different use cases. It's a trial and error process. And not everybody has that same level of experience as compared with the general search engine inquiry.
Yeah. Mr. Zhu was also giving another interesting use case, another example, saying some patients have been pasting, for example, a medical consent form with a lot of jargon that's difficult to understand into GPT and asking it to explain the document in plain English.
I haven't seen that, but it's interesting. It'd be interesting if you can provide your past health records. Can you give them your recent lab work and say, here's what my medications I've been on, here are the allergies I have, here's my blood work. What does this all mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of an advanced use case, in my opinion, from the consumer side.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. You can see there's going to be a flood of people throwing terms and conditions into these guys now. Being like, what is this 12,000-page document telling me I'm signing my life away?
You know, we're going to talk about doctors. Doctors, when they give you the results of your lab work, they might be like, you know, please do not take this information and put it into an AI tool. We will analyze these results, not AI.
And that's part of the problem here, which leads us nicely to the next part of the conversation, which is about not just consumers, patients' relationship with Gen AI, but physicians' relationship with patients and their relationship with Gen AI and how they feel about their patients using these technologies. How do physicians feel about patients using Gen AI for health information when compared to other information sources, some of the ones you talked about before, Google, WebMD, etc.?
Well, as you might expect, they are frightened. Well, for one, there is a recent Medscape survey that found that 90% of docs are at least somewhat concerned that patients will trust the information that the Gen AI tool produces over their own advice. Another 90%, or close to it, say that it's likely that patients will get misinformation or faulty information from Gen AI, and that just makes their jobs so much harder, right? So it's like, it's an unnecessary barrier in many physicians' perspectives. And you can understand that. They went through medical school, they went through training and residency, and they're at the top of their license practicing. But you have all these other now sources that could be producing unreliable information. And it's not that much different from the early days of the internet and people thinking that they're Dr. Google and using social media and listening to health influencers. It really does fall under the same category. It's just that Gen AI is a lot newer.
Yeah, they've now got one extra person, if you want to call Gen AI a person, that they have to steer their patients away from when trying to get medical advice. A lot of people will turn to friends, family. Some people will turn to politicians. Some people are now perhaps turning to, well, people have been turning to the internet or influencers, and now ChatGPT is getting in on the action. That said, the fact that there is a lot of bad information out there that generative AI could be delivering to patients, you'd written about evidence that's mounting that Gen AI services could deliver accurate health-related information to consumers. There was one study comparing, was it ChatGPT to WebMD?
Yeah. There was a couple studies that I wrote about that ChatGPT did outperform WebMD and some symptom checker websites when it came to being able to provide an appropriate diagnosis. I think if you did enough research, you'd also find other studies that found that the more traditional sources would be more reliable. So again, it really depends on who is involved in prompting the tool. You know, WebMD is a pretty reliable Healthline, a pretty reliable medical information site, but you know, there are a lot of apps and symptom tracker tools out there that are not as reliable. So which ones are being specifically compared to ChatGPT and for what purpose? But it's not nothing. I mean, it's interesting that there are studies already showing that ChatGPT is pretty good in being able to generate reliable medical information.
Yeah, you had one from Emory University, another from the University of Alberta in Canada, basically showing that ChatGPT was better than some of these other tools, some of these other alternatives. Final question, Rajiv, what's the relationship going to be like between the patient, the physician, and the technology going forward? Do you see a world where doctors are sitting down with patients and saying, look, if you're going to use it, this is how to use it. Here's some literacy on, you know, using these types of tools. Or do you think there's a world where, you know, some of these physicians, they have their own, they have generative AI tools that have been fed just kind of clinical information and research, and so they're much safer to use, and we see an emergence of those and doctors saying, don't use, you know, this all-encompassing grab everything from the internet one, use this one that's just pulling information from these credible and vetted sources.
That's a great question. I think that the physician-patient relationship has largely been paternalistic. Physicians want to be the authority. They want patients to listen to them, heed their advice, because they're the ones that are trained and patients are not. Mm-hmm. So I think that physicians are going to be pretty skeptical of any of these AI tools. And I don't think that many will want to sit down with patients and say, if you are going to use an AI tool, you know, please do this. I think they're just going to kind of wave them off right from the start and just say, please ignore these tools. That's really what I think is at least happening now. And it's going to happen more as consumers more frequently use these tools to answer their medical questions.
Yeah. Well, that's all we've got time for this episode. If you tune in tomorrow to part two, we'll talk about actually how doctors are using Gen AI when it comes to patient care. And we'll also look at some of the AI solutions that companies are building to help folks with their health. Thank you so much to Rajiv for hanging out today.
Thanks, Marcus. This was fun.
Yes, sir. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, Stuart, who runs the team, and Sophie, who does our social media. Thanks to everyone for listening in. We hope to see you tomorrow for that part two episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Walmart Connect.